This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 62 of The Showrunner. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, best-selling author, host of Hack the Entrepreneur, coffee connoisseur, and lover of sandwiches, Mr. Johnny Naster. Johnny, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, nice. you and I have resolved, after two marathon-long episodes the last 2 weeks, we were doing the third part of our... We each did this three-part mini-course. You did one on podcast interviews. I did one on differentiation, kind of creating a unique show. If you're listening to this and you missed those episodes, you can go back. It's the last six episodes, and we're going to be turning those into mini-courses that you'll be able to get. And we were kind of walking through the process live, allowing you to see our work. We did three lessons in each one. The third one for both of us took about an hour each one. So the last two episodes were really long. I mean, I thought they were really filled with good stuff. Like, I didn't think that it was just filler or anything. I thought they were good episodes. But we resolved to make this one shorter because those last couple were so long. So we'll see if we can do it.
That's why we put the constraints on it of the 3, 3, and 3. But at the end, I think we got to our third of our third lesson each. And we're like, but we have so much more to cover. But which is good. But at the same time, it's also good because otherwise, if you don't, I think, put that constraint on it, all of a sudden your mini course, we would have turned into 9 episodes each and it would have never finished. And then,
right.
So it's kind of necessary. But I wanted to, when you said introduce me as connoisseur of coffee, I feel now I should give some sort of shout out. I'm not just a connoisseur of coffee. I'm a connoisseur of coffee mugs.
Oh.
Somebody from a podcast called failtolearn.com. Totally a shout out to the lady or gentleman who runs that show. I haven't actually looked it up yet, but it came in late last evening for some reason. It was delivered, and I'm drinking coffee out of it today. Official cup for those who learn from mistakes. Failtolearn.com. And then there's like a cool like little head that says podcast on it.
Very nice.
I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm just not a connoisseur of coffee. I also like cool mugs.
I like the double meaning in that statement too, in that title. That's good.
Yeah. And they get a shout out on the show. So
hey, that works. That works. Well, real quick here, before we jump into the main topic, and we have a really interesting main topic because, Johnny, we were talking about what we should do, and in Slack, Johnny said that we should do the most recent topic idea that he put on our Trello board. So all the Trello board says is, should you watch what you say on your podcast, John's mom story? So I have not heard the story. I don't really know what we're in for, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm on pins and needles to hear this story. But real quick, before we get there, I do want to remind everyone to go to showrunner.fm and make sure you join the Showrunner. Get our weekly newsletter. It includes announcements of free public events. We will be having another public Showrunner huddle soon where you can send in your questions, ask us any questions that you have about podcasting or building an online business or anything, or coffee mugs, apparently. We'll take questions about that as well. You'll also get an update on each week's new Showrunner episode. We have our highly recommend section where we recommend, you know, maybe an article or an episode or a new technique or a tool or something that will help you take the next step with your podcasting. So go to showrunner.fm, make sure you join that list. And if you're new to the Showrunner and you haven't yet joined that list and gotten our content series on the four essential elements of a remarkable podcast, you also want to join the list so that you get that and so you can understand the pillars of our curriculum here at the Showrunner. So again, showrunner.fm, join that email list. Mr. Naster, are you ready to jump in and regale us with this story?
Yeah, I'd say I'm ready to relive this moment.
All righty, let's do it right now on the Showrunner. All righty, Mr. Nastur, the floor is yours. We all want to know what this story is, so please tell us John's mom story.
Okay, so the last 2 weeks have been somewhat of a blurry time. I've been doing a lot of work, been doing a lot of interviews on other shows, interviews for my own show, showrunner, doubling up on episodes because I'm heading to Europe next week for 3 weeks. And I'll be working, but I'm not podcasting, so all the recording stuff has to be done. And last week sometime, maybe three interviews came out where I was interviewed on somebody else's show, which is really, really awesome, except I think two came out on one day and another one. And so it was kind of just overwhelming, and I was doing a whole bunch of work. And I was here at my desk working, and my mom just texts me at one point, and she said, "Oh, I'm just knitting, listening to that latest interview of yours." And I just kind of looked at it, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." That's all I thought. But I'm like, I didn't clue into what one or anything. And then she goes, this is literally a verbatim. I looked this up for you. "Just listening to your podcast on Outlier and found out that you were thinking of moving to Toronto in a couple of months." Wow. So a city that's like, it's like 2000 kilometers from me. It's kind of far, right? And I hadn't told her, but I hadn't really told my wife, I don't think, either. I just said it in a conversation because I was literally overwhelmed with podcasts and just. And so I find that when I have a lot of shows to do, obviously things get looser. I mean, you need stuff to talk about. And we were talking about the small town that I live in and for like entrepreneurs. And if there's people around me, I was like, well, no, but there's people like obviously the internet. I'm surrounded by really cool, smart people. But I said, I am thinking about in the fall moving to Toronto to be closer to some stuff. And so it was so hilarious because my mom said that. And all I could say was just like, ouch to her.
Yeah.
And then she called me and I was like, first of all, Mom, when you listen to any of my interviews, which I never think of, obviously, anybody I know listening to them. But I said, you got to take it somewhat with a grain of salt. And then I sent her back to the showrunner episode from the beginning of the year where my New Year's resolution was to contradict myself. And I was trying to explain it, but then it made me think. I was like, wow, what are other things that I've said on shows that like, maybe I've used like a friend as an example and not ever told them because I just never think to, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it made me think like, do we need to, should I be filtering myself? I mean, we want authenticity. We want all of that. And I was making conversation around a topic and I am thinking about making that move, but my wife or my mom didn't know about it at this time.
Two important people in that decision, maybe.
Well, my wife would be super into it because it's the big city. It's fun. And my mom doesn't really mind, but it was a funny way for her to find out. And it totally caught me off guard. And then I really like stopped working. I was like, wow, what else is on that interview before you keep listening, first of all? But there was nothing. But it really, I don't know, it made me think about it. And I would like to hear your take on it because of, since then, that was last Monday morning. I've done a lot of interviews since then. And I haven't added a filter. So I would like to know what your take on something like that or just filtering in general would be.
So my initial take is this story went in a much different direction than I thought it was going to go. I actually thought this was going to be more, I thought maybe like you cursed or you said something profane on a podcast mom heard and was like,
I don't curse.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I was going to say like, that would be so outside of the bounds of the Johnny Nastur that I know. Okay. So this is much more interesting.
It's a family disruption that she's not aware of and my wife's not aware of. And my mom was actually coming over for dinner that night. So they got to discuss it about how they had never heard of this. And I was just in the middle, like, I was just talking on a podcast. I do this like literally like sometimes 6 or 8 hours a day. Like I can't be responsible. I can't say the same things over and over.
Yeah. So that it's interesting because, you know, should you watch what you say on your podcast? I do think that you have to have a filter. But I think the filter needs to be more based on the audience that you're talking to, as opposed to, you know, like worrying about, I guess, people in your life and if they'll hear what you're saying. Because, again, we talk about authenticity, and authenticity is not transparency, remember. You know, transparency would just be saying anything. Authenticity is talking about meaningful stuff from your experience and your knowledge that will help the audience who is listening to you. And so I do think that you need a filter to make sure that the stories that you're telling, the anecdotes that you're using, you know, the lessons that you're providing are relevant for that audience. And that's just a general kind of, you know, big picture idea that we've talked about a lot on here. Now, should you, you know, I guess, should you watch what you say on your podcast in relation to your family? That's interesting because, you know, I always try to, because I'll use, you know, stories about my life with Heather and that kind of thing, you know, on different shows. And I try never to reveal, I guess, anything. I don't think I would ever reveal plans about moving without telling her first. Only because she might think that that was a little bit strange. But I, you know, I guess for most of those stories that I would tell, I feel like it was something that I would be very comfortable saying if she were right there. So I don't feel bad about it. And I will always go tell her about it later. Usually I'll say like, oh yeah, I was on this interview and I was telling that the story of the conversation that we had when we were walking and, you know, haha, we'll laugh about it, that kind of thing. But so I guess my answer is I think the filter needs to be much more focused on the audience as opposed to, you know, like I'm going to use this story or use this person as an example over here and feel like I need to go tell them, unless I'm using an example and I fear they're going to like shut their site down in the next week and the example was a landing page on their site, you know, something like that. But otherwise, I just think, you know, should you watch what you say on your podcast, I would watch what I say more in relation to the audience I'm speaking to rather than family or friends who may wonder why I said what I said.
Right, exactly. And I mean, if I would have mentioned my mother or my father or my wife on the show, then yeah, that would come up in conversation with them. Just how like, oh yeah, and I talked about this. But I literally didn't mention anybody. I was just making conversation about like a central hub to like live in. And not even like Sear, like I wasn't like, and we booked this mover. Like it was literally just like in a few months, I'm thinking maybe because this reason. And I mean, over the past year, my wife and I have sort of discussed it. Like in passing, like it might actually be a really kind of cool, smart move and fun. But it wasn't like, oh, we're moving on September the 10th. And you know what I mean? So,
you know, I do think that, okay, let me add this. I mean, I do think you have to be careful with, you know, maybe conversations that you've had in confidence and then relaying those on a podcast. And that can go, you know, with family that, I mean, it's pretty obvious with family. I mean, there's some stuff that happens in your family you're not going to like say on a podcast. But right. Even, you know, maybe with friends or colleagues, you know, there's some stuff you have to be careful. I'm trying to think if there's an example from our time working together that we pretty much have all of our conversations on the air. So it doesn't really doesn't really count with us. But there may be other people like with the assembly call, for example, like there have been conversations we've had, you know, after we've stopped rolling, maybe with some information like someone's heard a rumor or, you know, we kind of have something that we'll talk about amongst ourselves, but maybe don't want to bring to the air because we don't have proof of it yet or it hasn't been publicly reported, you know, or someone else told us in confidence so we can't use it. In those cases, we want to watch what we say, even though our audience would love it. If we don't know for sure that it's fact, you know, if we can't say it, we don't want to say it. And that's, you know, that's starting to get into journalism and some of those exactly. types of things. So you have to be careful there, too. So that's where I'd be careful is if you might be betraying someone's confidence, certainly, even if it would be authentic for you to deliver that to your audience, it may still not be the right decision to do it.
Right. I guess the trouble that I have is that I'm not trying to be authentic. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if I was trying to be authentic and trying to be unfiltered or unscripted, that it would come across as contrived because it would be contrived.
Right.
That's the hard. But let's go back a little bit because you said at the very beginning, you went, authenticity is not transparency. And that's a pretty interesting distinction. And I've never even thought of the blurs that maybe I'm actually thinking transparency rather than authenticity. And the transparency is it's not always necessary to disclose every mistake, every trouble, everything, right. The fact that I couldn't sleep last night or something. It's probably not necessary, but the authenticity is.
Right. Yeah, it's like I'm wearing my pajamas right now as we record this. Now, that is me being transparent. And you could say that's me being authentic, but it's really, it's just, I mean, it doesn't really further the discussion. Like the people, the audience right. listening to this, they're not any better because you know that I'm wearing my pajamas. Like now it's trending into authentic territory because it's part of this conversation. So it's this meta thing. But you know what I mean? Like me just saying that, it doesn't, and you saying that you're thinking about moving to Toronto, that could be just kind of extraneous transparency, or it could be that authentic works. Depending on the context of the conversation. So I think it's just, right. you know, you want
to
be.
I've never thought of it in that way. And now all I'm thinking is I hope you wear more to bed than I do. But but beyond that, it's really cool. I've never actually thought of the difference like authenticity and transparency. I don't know why I've always blurred them together and they're not at all one thing.
And it's, you know, like, for example, the argument could be made that sometimes in our opening, you know, the little casual opening that we have, that we're being transparent, but we're not necessarily being authentic, you know, because we'll just kind of talk about something. You know, to us, I mean, we do feel like it is authentic because a lot of times we're sharing stories from show running and that conversation will deal with podcasting a lot. So they're relevant stories to that will kind of help educate people and show them how we handle different things. But that's where you do have to kind of be careful, because if all you're doing is being transparent, eventually your audience is going to lose interest because now we're getting into that usefulness, right? Where are you educating, entertaining, or inspiring? Well, if you're just being transparent over and over again, you're not really doing any of those things. So you do have to be careful there. And so I do think in that sense, you do want to watch what you say on your show.
Right. And it's actually the transparency that I don't like usually. It's that whole like talk about what we had for lunch for 20 minutes before the show even starts in the intro. Yeah. It's like, I don't need that. And people always confuse it with, oh, but we're being authentic. It's like, no, you're not. You're telling me what you ate for lunch and I don't get to eat any. Right. So it doesn't help
being,
me, right?
Yeah, you're being transparent and you're angering me.
Exactly. And so in business, this is like kind of a big thing with like online businesses now are the whole transparent businesses, and they tell you their numbers and data. There's places where you can literally live track how many users they have. And it's supposed to be quote unquote transparent, but you're not seeing everything. So it's not transparent. And I think the first company that did it or the first couple companies were being authentically transparent. But the rest, I think, are very inauthentically just trying to jump on the transparent bandwagon. And it's really just kind of contrived and just like, you're trying too hard. And it loses the impact. Yeah. So there it is. Wow. You just completely opened my mind in a new direction today, Jared. And I thank you.
Very nice. Good. Well, you opened my mind. Cause again, I thought we were going to be talking about profanity on podcasts. So this,
no, just talking well. About a funny life change that my mom happened to hear.
Okay. So can I run with some of my here pre-prepared material that I was going to discuss? Cause I will say this, I do want to say this because the question does come up, you know, about cursing and how much should you censor yourself on a podcast, that kind of thing. And I do just want to say, you know, for anyone who is wondering that, I would just, you've got to think about your audience. You know, think about who's going to be listening, when do they listen, what do they expect of you, and proceed accordingly. For example, on the showrunner, we are not going to just curse, you know, it just, I mean, number one, you and I don't generally curse, so it's not really an issue. And I think we did have that one episode from a while back.
I curse where, actually a lot.
Oh, do you really? See,
it's crazy. And it's only happened in the last year. So I just curse a lot. Like just in life, it's just funny. I stop myself like, man, I'm cursing like a sailor. I don't know why, but. Okay. But on shows, I never do. Yeah.
So let's turn that transparent admission into something authentic here. So you curse a lot, but you don't curse a lot on your shows.
No, I don't at all.
Is it a conscious decision that you make not to curse when you're recording Hack the Entrepreneur or the Showrunner because you're being very audience focused? Is it just not something that you really think about when you're behind the mic because you're in a different mindset? Like, what's your?
No, I totally think about it. This is sort of not so much on this show, but on Hack the Entrepreneur, I definitely kind of. At least in my intros, outros, all that stuff, I go into sort of like almost a character role where it's like quick and focused, more so than I am in real life. But in my conversations, I just don't feel that it fits a business conversation for me just to be dropping F-bombs. But if I'm out like hanging out with my band or something and we're skateboarding and doing something, it just curses just come out. Like, so So I honestly, yeah, it's 100% because it's my audience, and that's and it's what I've created. It would be weird now if I started 200 episodes in just cursing like a banshee. I guess do banshees curse?
They can. Banshee works. It's a good catch-all word for people doing crazy things. So it works. Yeah. I mean, and you just, again, you want to be audience focused there. Some shows need to curse. It's part of who they are. It's part of what they do. If that's not you, then what you don't want to do, again, and this goes for cursing, it goes for anything, is set an expectation in any way and then just totally drastically shift from that. Because if people, are comfortable, I'm driving to work, I can listen to this with my kids in the car, and then you start, cursing, and they're not ready for it. And even if you put a disclaimer at the beginning, sometimes people kind of glaze over those, Now, that helps. I mean, you do want to do that, but you have to understand that's not just like a get-out-of-jail-free card for anything that you then do on your podcast. So you just want to be careful, because you don't want to alienate your audience. And that can be one way to do it. So you want to be careful with that. So a couple different angles today on should you watch what you say on your podcast. And just remember, if you're going to drop any important life plans, your mom or your wife or your significant other, I guess if you were a lady listening to this, maybe listening. So maybe tell them first if you're going to move.
I guess at the end of all this, I should just say, hi, mom.
Hi, Mrs. Nastor. How are you? All right.
That was good.
Look forward to visiting you in Toronto.
All right. It'll be fun.
Yes, it will. All right. You ready for a podcast recommendation?
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So this week's podcast recommendation comes from Rainmaker.fm. I'm pretty sure we've recommended the show before, but not enough. And so I want to recommend it one more time. And it is Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. This is the podcast that is hosted by Sonia Simone, who has been the voice of Copyblogger for so long. She also co-hosts Copyblogger.fm as well. But Pink-Haired Marketer was her first podcast on Rainmaker.fm. You can get there by going to pinkhairedmarketer.fm or going to rainmaker.fm. And in this podcast, Sonia Simone delivers advice, encouragement, and the occasional rant. And it is always fun when Sonia rants. Sonia rants are the greatest. And she does this from outside the drone of the marketing mainstream. The show is weekly, so join her for a regular mix of monologues, interviews, and answers to your content marketing questions. And what I love the most about Sonia's show, and she even says this explicitly, is she is giving you your own pink permission slip to run your business your way. And Sonia is so big on that, on empowering entrepreneurs and empowering content creators to not just do the paint by numbers, cookie cutter type thing, or to feel like you have to play by somebody else's rules. As long as you're not screwing somebody over, as long as you're, approaching your business with a heart of kindness and being genuine about it, do it your way. And I had a great conversation with her about this on the episode of The Digital Entrepreneur that I think it's the one that came out last week. Anyway, it's a recent episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. We'll put the link in the show notes. But we talk about this because she's doing a keynote at Digital Commerce Summit where she'll be talking about this. And her show is just a weekly place to get really, really good mindset advice for entrepreneurs. So Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer, pinkhairedmarketer.fm. Check it out.
If you haven't ever listened to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer yet, I would suggest scrolling all the way to the very bottom, to the very beginning of this show, which we should talk to her and get her to create a mini course out of it. But when she first launched, when Rainmaker.fm launched itself, it was either, because it was a year ago that I listened to this, but I was like blown away by it. And it was either 4 or 6 or 3 episodes or something she did where it was like the business, sort of like foundations of like a business she did, and it all in separate parts. It was amazing. And there was like her rants were in there, but like also like just laying it out like this is like how to think about it, and it was, wow, it was really, really cool. So if you need a place to start, definitely go all the way back to episode 1 to 4 or 1 to 6 or 1 to 5 or something. It'll make sense when you get there. And you could even remind me because I should actually go back there. But it's a amazing start to any show, and it really lays the foundation for that authentic business model.
Yep. So pinkhairedmarketer.fm, check it out. And Mr. Nastor, it looks like we are going to get out of here in under 30 minutes. well under 30 minutes. We did it.
Nice. Nice.
So if you have just gotten used to listening to the showrunner for an hour and you're like, what am I going to do now with these extra 30 minutes? Go check out one of Sonya's shows. You will not be disappointed. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Showrunner. Make sure you go to showrunner.fm and join the email list. Get our weekly newsletter. Get updates on free public events. And get our We Highly Recommend section. We would love to have you on that list. And we deliver weekly goodies that we want to deliver to you. So go to showrunner.fm. And we'll be back next week with another brand new episode. We'll talk to you then.
Take care.
Is that a little punk rock beat that you just
drummed? That was on my legs, yeah.
Well done. Very nice.
Coffee's just finally kicking in.
All right. I like it.